Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons, text number 13. Iti te bratri nirdesham adaya shira sadrita tata prajanam kadanam vadadu kana priyaha. Iti, thus, te, they, puratri, of the master, nirdesham, the direction, adaya, receiving, shirasa, with their heads, adrita, respecting, tata, so also, prajanam, of all the citizens, kadanam, persecution, vidadu, executed, kadana priyaha, those who are expert in persecuting others. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thus the demons, being fond of their disastrous activities, took Hiranyakashipu's instructions on their heads with great respect and offered him obeisances. According to his directions, they engaged in envious activities directed against all living beings. Purport. The followers of demonic principles, as described here, are thoroughly envious of the general population or populace. In the present day, scientific advancement exemplifies such envy. The discovery of nuclear energy has been disastrous to people in general because demons all over the world are manufacturing nuclear weapons. The word kadana priyaha, is very significant in this regard. The demonic persons who want to kill the Vedic culture are extremely envious of the feeble citizens, and they act in such a way that ultimately their discoveries will be inauspicious for everyone. Jagato Hita. 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita fully explains how the demons engage in sinful activities for the destruction of the populace. So the text again. Thus the demons, being fond of disastrous activities, took Hiranyakashipu's instructions on their heads with great respect and offered him obeisances. According to his directions, they engaged in envious activities directed against all living beings. 16th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita is a description of both the divine and the demoniac natures. And Krishna begins the description of the demoniac qualities with saying, privitim cha nivritim cha, that they don't know what's to be done, what's priviti, what's supposed to be done, and nivritti, what's not supposed to be done. Privitim cha nivritim, janana vidua asura. So that's the nature of the demoniac people. The socham napichacharo, they're neither clean, nor proper behavior is found in them. The socham napichacharo and the satyam teshu vidyate. Nor is there a truth. In other words, anyone who's absorbed in the material concept of life, they can either be truthful, because basically speaking, the truth is Krishna, and that we're Krishna's servants. And if we deny that, vayam dvitiya, then we have a reversal of our roles. Instead of being the servant of Krishna, we become envious of Krishna and we want to compete against him. That I have some special quality better than everyone else, and therefore I should be recognized and served. Ritim cha and ritim cha. And satyam, that's untruthfulness. And then socham, then the mind becomes, as soon as we turn our consciousness away from Krishna, Krishna Bahir Mukha Bhogavan Shatare Nikatasta Tare Japatiya Dare. That as soon as we turn our consciousness away from Krishna, then Maya puts us in illusion. And part of that illusion is we're Avivratmika Shakti and Prakatmika Shakti. Dumena Vriyata Ivanira Itaradara Shomalena Cha Itaubhena Avrita Garavas Tata Tenedam Avritam. Just like fire is covered by smoke, or the mirror is covered by dust, or the embryo is covered by womb, so similarly living entities covered by different degrees of this lust. So we've been taken out of the material realm of experience, which is unlimitedly enthusiastic because the happiness and the pleasure are so great, and therefore the enthusiasm and the love goes simultaneously along with the unlimited varieties of love and pleasure in the spiritual world, into a world of simply envy and hatred and struggle and disgust, etc., etc. According to what mode of material nature we're conditioned by, there are different types of experiences. And in Kali Yuga, we don't get generally the higher experiences in goodness, the absence of pain and distress, and envy, but we get the lower experiences. And that's what we're merged into now, is the Kali Yuga, the lower experiences, and we've forgotten about what reality is, what the actual life, what our actual life is supposed to be, and we're merged into an imitation life full of which is the exact opposite of reality. And according to the particular body that we're in, according to our mentality, we have a certain covering, like fire is covered by smoke, or the mirror is covered by dust, or the embryo is covered by the womb. So in the demoniac species of life, then one is covered by demoniac consciousness. And part of that is due to ignorance. One doesn't know what's to be done and what's not to be done. What is cleanliness, what is truthfulness, or what is proper behavior. And it gets down to asatyam apratishtam. And what is their philosophy then? Asatyam apratishtam te. That's how, according to the covering, that's how we see the world. In other words, as soon as we're covered by the material nature, then that's how we'll see and experience the material energy. Sadva nirupa sarvasha shradat bhavati bharata Sharoma yo yo purusham yo yatscharas eva saha. According to one's existence, under the three modes of material nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. So everyone is walking around with a particular kind of faith. A particular idea of what's actually going on here. And although we theoretically may acquire knowledge beyond our present experience and conceptions, but still our everyday, day-to-day experience is according to our faith. And our faith is not artificial faith. It's actually the experience we're having is our faith. Our vision, or actually the way we see things, is our faith. Now we may go beyond that by executing devotional service and get a higher experience at times, and therefore our faith, our normal faith, it becomes shaken a little bit. We start wondering or believing that there's something beyond my everyday experience. But due to the nature of the material energy, is that unless we keep on practicing and getting higher experiences, we generally fall back into actually believing that our current level of faith and experience is actually reality. That's the nature of illusion. Yogas chalati manasa. Although one may be trying to make advancement in spiritual life, that when Maya sees that we're making advancement, she'll try to delude us by so many different types of allurements. And Maya has her tricks for everyone. Even Brahma was tricked. So what to speak of our tiny little selves? Even Vishwamitra Muni, who was able to meditate for 60,000 years, even he got tricked by just hearing some anchor bells. And we're hearing and seeing a lot more than ankle bells nowadays. So what to speak of our little tiny selves, how much we're subjected to the illusory energy. Still, we can get faith If we cultivate devotional service, Srinvatam Svakata Krishna, regularly, then in spite of our tendency for the lower natures, we can restrain our senses, Tani Sarvani Samyam Ya Yukta Asita Matraha, that one who restrains his senses and fixes his consciousness upon me is known as a man of steady intelligence. So we can, in spite of the fact material nature will try to trick us, and we're very subjectable to being tricked by the illusory energy. Matter of fact, the conditioned soul, due to his conditioned nature, actually sometimes is anxious, you know. Where's Maya? Why does she leave me? Where is this? Maybe she'd come back and offer me something more than she gave me before. I might be attracted. Who knows? So Maya, she's with us, and therefore she knows what we want. She's better than Santa Claus. And if we actually try to make spiritual advancement, then she says, all right, you want to get out of my clutches, but I have a little bit more to offer you. As I said, Gop Kumara, he had to go from one planetary system to the next. And finally he got to the coverings and went through all the coverings of the universe, where the opulence is many times more than even on Brahmaloka, which we can't even begin to conceive of what the opulence in Brahmaloka is, where one moment in Brahma's life is 90,000 of our years. So what to speak of a year of his life compared to our existence is inconceivable. And everything else is proportionally, the food, the prasadam, the accommodations, everything is proportionally more enjoyable. So how can we conceive? And in the coverings, there's even more happiness, there's even more opulence than in Brahmaloka. Of course, they don't live any longer because the universe only exists for a mere 311 trillion, 40 billion years. But when Gop Kumara finally got to the final covering of the universe, Maya came. Because Maya was always greeting him. She was always happy to see him wherever he went. Maya's always happy to see us. We're faithful servants. And finally, Maya in her final form, sex personified, came and offered herself to Gop Kumara and said, you know, please, I want you to stay with me. Could you be so kind as to stay with me? And Gop Kumara was chanting his mantra, the Gopal mantra, sufficiently. He said, no thanks. We don't know how long he actually stayed there, but not enough to get involved with Maya. And so he left. But where'd he go? Brahman. Brahman's better than Maya. Almost. Another phase of Maya. But he got out of that to merge in Brahman. And eventually he got out of Brahman into Shiva Loka. And then beyond that he went to Vaikuntha. Then he went to Ayodhya. Then he went to, before he got there, he went to Ramachandra's place, Ayodhya. Then Dwarka. And finally he made it to Goloka Vrindavan. So Maya's not going to stop. My dear Olivianti, you're chanting around so nicely. You seem to get up, you know, for the program. I won't leave you alone. No, that's when she starts bothering us the most. What are you doing, you know? I've been helping you out since time immemorial. Now you're going to leave me? What kind of grateful soul are you? You have no appreciation. I've been your mother since time immemorial, and now you're going to abandon me? You're ungrateful. But I have a few, you know, before you go, I got a few things to offer you. Would you like to look at them? I'm sure you'll be happy seeing them. Things you just can't turn down. So we can think, well, yeah, I'll just take a peek, like Vishwamrita Muni. Just one little peek, because then I can tell my friends what I gave up. And generally the rest is history, another life. Maya said, oh, you're a good boy. Thank you. You made the right choice. Don't let anyone tell you differently. So the demoniac, they're on a sattvana rupa sarvacha. When we have that faith and we actually believe it, it becomes part of our existence. It becomes our reality. And then naturally we're going to act according to that reality. We can't avoid doing it. We have to desire it. So if that's what we believe, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to desire. If that's what our conviction is, our belief is, that's where we think we're going to find happiness, we're going to go for it. And then according to what we do, then we get evolve another faith. Then Maya will give us another faith to confirm what we were thinking. She actually gives us confirmation. You were right. I told you so. Just like that devotee I mentioned. He was always afraid of going on book distribution. He felt threatened that he might be attacked if he went on book distribution. Someone might hit him. So for years, the devotees were trying to convince him to go out on book distribution. Finally, they practically forced him out for his first day on book distribution. And the first person he went to shake hands with took his fist and smashed him in the face and knocked him out. So for years he was meditating on someone coming in, knocking, you know, hitting him on his first day in Sankirtan. And Krishna couldn't avoid fulfilling his desire. It was so strong. He got a direct confirmation. He was absolutely right. So that's how Maya works. If we have a conviction, then she'll actually, by her activities, by her direction, she'll confirm that we were absolutely right. So this is called Paritimcha and Nivritimcha. The demons are convinced they're doing the right thing. Every demon thinks he's doing the best thing possible. Every person in this world, every living entity, believes he's a good person and he's doing the best he can. There's that story of Two Gun Pete. You know the story of Two Gun Pete? You read that in Dale Carnegie's book. How many know the story of Two Gun Pete? Okay. Yeah, it's a good story. So Two Gun Pete was a famous criminal in Chicago in the 1920s, during Prohibition. And he was famous because whenever he killed someone, which was pretty regular, he'd have two guns and kill, you know, shoot them twice with both guns. So he got a reputation like that as Two Gun Pete. And he was quite proud of his reputation. So one day he was on Lovers Lane enjoying Madhurya Rasa with his girlfriend. And when unfortunately policemen took his flashlight and showed it inside the car where Two Gun Pete with his gopi was. And Two Gun Pete became infuriated, took his gun and shot the policeman. But he was afraid of his reputation, so he got out of the car and took the policeman's gun and shot him with his own gun. Then he felt relieved. My reputation won't be spoiled. Of course, the other policeman didn't appreciate Two Gun Pete's mood, his rasa, and therefore they chased him into his hideout, and there was a gun battle, and Two Gun Pete realized this is Auntie Leela. And so he wrote a letter to his mother. He said, "Dear Mom," he said, "actually I'm a nice person, but people just misunderstand me. Please take care of the cat, your son, Petey." And then, of course, that was Auntie Leela for Pete. So everyone, even the most hardened criminal, thinks he's doing the right thing and that he's a nice person. So that's nature. So those who are asuras, they also believe it. They believe their untruthfulness is truthfulness. They believe their uncleanliness is immaculate. They believe that their bad behavior is actually the proper behavior. And they say, asatyam apratishtam te jagara horanishvaram aparashvaram sambhutyam kimanya kama haituke. They say that this world is completely unreal. Now how is that possible? They say it's just someone's dream. It's their dream, of course. They're just dreaming the world into existence. And that when they wake up, they'll find out there's nothing here. Now, if you understand that philosophy, well, that's unfortunate. Better not try to figure it out. They say the world's unreal, has no foundation. It just came out of nothing. In the beginning there was nothing, and nothing was quite bored. After all, if you're nothing, it's pretty boring, isn't it? And nothing's mother, because nothing came from something, she was quite disturbed that her son had become nothing. He was good for nothing. So his mother started to complain, can't you make something out of yourself? It's embarrassing that I got a good for nothing son. So after some inexplicable period of time, nothing decided to become something. So he tried real hard, and by his strong desire, he became a rock. First it was gas, but the gas finally got it together and became a rock. And still Mother Nothing was dissatisfied. That's all you can become? First it became some gas, not very much gas. And all you can do is get yourself together to become this stupid-looking rock. Why don't you make something a little bit better out of yourself? So the rock, nothing, became angry and exploded, flew everywhere for practically eternity, and finally Mother Nothing said, why don't you just settle down? So it settled down, and here we are now. So that's the scientific explanation of reality. That's the foundation of everything. And if you don't believe that, then you're a communist, fanatic, terrorist, unscientific, etc., 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 conspiracy theorist. So that's what they say. That's how everything came about. And you should believe it, or else you're strange. There's no God in control. God forbid there be a God. There's no God in control. But there is sex desire, and that's supreme, and that everyone should honor and respect. And the real motivating factor behind everything is lust. Lust ki jai. That's what made progress. We make progress because of lust. And what is that progress? Etam drishtim avashtavya nashtatmano nabudaya pravanyuga karmana shaye jagatohita. Following such conclusions, because that's how modern civilization has come about, they're following those conclusions. It's not due to extreme piety that modern technology is being advanced, that the internet and everything else is being advanced. It's following those conclusions. And lost to themselves, they have no idea who they are, or what the purpose of themselves are, what they're supposed to be doing, what their real situation is supposed to be. They're lost to their own selves. They're just absorbed in this illusory dream-like experience of the material energy and their material identifications. They create horrible, unbeneficial works meant to destroy the world. So they're angry. They're envious and angry, and they want to take it out on others. They take pleasure to see others annihilated. They think, well, when others are annihilated or in difficulty, then I'm so much better than they are. Like the tribe in Africa, South Africa, their philosophy is that if you're alive, you're good. And if you're dead, you're bad. So if I kill you, I'm good because I'm alive. But because you died, you're bad. It's a simple philosophy. You can justify anything with such a philosophy. So they justify, yes, I'm good because I'm alive, I'm better than you because I'm alive, because I'm more powerful. Therefore, when I kill you, you're bad. And I feel good because I'm good and you're bad. You confirm it. So they're envious of their own selves, of Krishna, it says, and they're envious of everyone else. And therefore, they take pleasure because of the mode of ignorance. Mode of ignorance is compelling them to destroy things. And when they destroy things, they get relieved from the impetus to destroy things, and they feel good about it. Like Mrigari, the hunter. half killing the animals. He was trained up, shoot the animals in such a way as they die. They don't die, but they're half killed. And he would enjoy them suffering. Because that's how he was trained, in the mode of ignorance. Till Narada Muni came and saved him, and then he realized, when he got into a higher experience, a higher mode of consciousness, then he realized how abominable what he was doing was. Until then, he was taking pleasure at torturing animals. People take pleasure torturing others as people descend into the modes of ignorance. To such an extent, you get to the level of Jarasandha, or actually even better than that, is when Banasura, the devotee of Lord Shiva, heard that there will be a time when your enemy will come and he'll be able to smash you to pieces and your flag of victory will no longer fly. Instead of becoming depressed that he was going to meet an adversary who could beat him, he became elated. Finally, this disturbance in my arms, which are always itching for a fight, will go away because someone will come and smash me to pieces and I'll feel a little bit more peaceful. I won't have to fight with everyone in the universe. So he was happy to hear about that. He became elated. So the demons, they want to destroy everything, and ultimately they destroy themselves. It's like someone's on the branch of the tree, and he's sawing the branch off. His saw is sawing the branch closer to the trunk, and someone comes along and saying, "My dear sir, if you keep on sawing that branch near the trunk, your branch will break off and you'll fall down." "Oh, you are so pessimistic, you know. You're one of those conspiracy theorists. How can I trust you?" And he keeps on sawing the branch, and finally the branch breaks and he falls down. And he runs after him and says, "Sir, sir, stop, please, help me. You must be an astrologer." So we can see that what they're doing and how it's going to result in destruction. How, as Prabhupada, even during Prabhupada's time, he said they have so many nuclear weapons. But now they have even more. And even more countries have them. They even have they have so many horrible weapons, and they're itching to use them. Because that's, as they advance in the mode of ignorance, Maya will tell them, you have to use these things. If you want to be happy, you have to use them. So they're planning for everyone's destruction. And everyone's thinking, yes, very nice. You know, let's enter into the mouth of Agasura. They're not thinking Krishna will save them. They're just entering into the mouth of Agasura, listening to the music inside. "Come you all, I'll help you." Following technology. They know that what they're doing is sinful. They know it's just causing destruction to the planet, to themselves, but still being compelled by the modes of material nature. They're forced to do it. That all living entities are forced to act helplessly. All living entities are sattvam rajas tamayiti guna prakriti sambhava ivana di mahavaho dehe dehinam aviyam. The material nature consists of three modes: goodness and passion, ignorance. And when the living entity becomes involved in those modes, he becomes conditioned by them. That all living entities are forced to act helplessly according to the modes of nature they acquire. So, one acts in a way that brings one into the mode of ignorance, from passion to ignorance, and one will be forced to go deeper and deeper and deeper into ignorance unless one gets good association, accepts it, and tries to reverse the tendency. But nowadays, they're going deeper into ignorance, and we can expect that what they're going to do is more and more abominable. What they come up with in order to destroy the world is even more demoniac each time. And if we think, well, it's going to get better, you know, maybe some protest movement will change everything around. It's like Prabhupada said, Gandhi's movement, they went out and they protested. The British were laughing. Yes, we'll make a show that we're disturbed by these protest movements. And all the while they were laughing. You know, what are they going to, these people going to do? Walking around with a sign that's going to bring, you know, oh, I'm sorry, the sign will, you know, will give up everything and will flee India because of your sign. British go home. Yes, of course, whatever you say, we'll do. No, they offered, they jailed Gandhi or something, but just to make a show that they're actually affected by the whole thing. And then they just kept on doing whatever they were doing because they weren't threatened at all. So to think that the world will change by some protest movement. Yes, when the protest movement turns violent or people, the powers that be or whatever the powers are, feel threatened, they might change things. Otherwise, they couldn't care less. They're not impressed by people who are just carrying signs around or saying, you know, help, you know, I'm suffering, it's your fault. Yes, of course you're suffering. It is our fault because we want you to suffer. We take happiness watching you suffer. So please keep on suffering. So the only remedy is chanting the holy names. You can pull that out of the hat, of course. The only remedy is Krishna consciousness, because that can change people's modes of nature, can purify their heart. And only when their modes of nature are changed will they change their activities. When their vision is changed, when their conception is changed, when their heart is changed, then they'll change their activities and they'll stop doing things which are detrimental to themselves and to everyone else. That's the only solution. Somehow or another, change people's hearts. And if we don't do that, then this society will continue to slide down into the darkest modes of ignorance. And living in this society, it's not that we're going to be completely aloof from the problems that go on. The end of Kali Yuga. Then there's some devotees left, but they're hiding. Because people are looking for them, not for spiritual enlightenment, but because they're hungry and they want to eat them. So we don't want to put ourselves in that position that we're chanting our rounds, but we're indifferent to the society and everything can go on because maybe things will get better by some politician or by some, you know, movement that will go on, the vegan movement or whatever movement is for the, supposed to save people. But no, nothing will be changed unless people change their consciousness. And the only way they can change their consciousness in this age is by purifying it through the chanting of the holy names and simultaneously trying to live life in terms of Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. So usually enviousness is when you think that someone is better off than yourself, and then according to your own understanding, and then you're envious of him. So, but here in the purport, Prabhupada is saying how the demons are envious of feeble citizens. So someone who's weak, so who is like, I think like in lower position as they see. So why would they be envy?
Envy, because how dare you have any energy that we don't have? How dare you exist without our blessings? And I'll show you, because you don't have our blessings, you'll cease to exist. Because you're not offering respects to us and surrendering unto us. And if you do, we'll destroy you anyhow. Just to show, you know, that we're much better than you are. So envious, when you're envious forever against everyone. As soon as we're envious about against Krishna, and therefore because everything and everyone is an expansion of Krishna, ultimately because we're envious of the whole, we'll be envious of everything. You don't accept. And generally we think of envy as that I want to get what you have. So, but envious is just having the wrong attitude, wanting to dominate and think that everything you have, the give and take, you give to me and I take from you. That's the envious attitude, give and take. you shouldn't have anything. You shouldn't even exist without my desire. Yes.
Demoniac philosophy seems to be rather stupid in the sense that it leads
to... Well, I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that.
It seems that it's very self-destructive. Even here, Hiranyakashipu is cutting the fruit trees. It's such a stupid thing. Why cut down the fruit trees?
Because someone might eat them.
So yeah, but he also could eat them, and he depends on so many things.
Well, he has his own fruit trees. He wants to make sure no one else has it, because they might be as good as he is.
But very frequently it's self-destructive.
Yeah, of course it's self-destructive. People who went and fight in these wars nowadays, they come up, they come back, and they're destroyed. Even they survive the war, they get this post-traumatic stress syndrome. Yeah, of course. If you act in a certain way, that means you must have that mentality. And if it's in the mode of ignorance, it'll destroy you. You can't get away from it. Look at Indra, he killed a Brahmin, and sin personified pursued him everywhere. Couldn't get away from it. Although he seemingly was doing his duty as a demigod, still he had to accept the simple reactions for what he did.
So then to change people's faith and vision, to lift them out of such a self-destructive attraction to ignorance or tamagun, what can we offer, or what experience can we help them get so that they become attracted to something better?
Prasadam is usually the first thing. Give them a higher taste. Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna Maharaj, if you give them nice pakoras fried in ghee, then they'll give up their desire to eat meat, to drink the blood of the cow. If they get the cow's blood in the form of ghee, nicely cooked pakoras, they'll give up this desire to drink the cow's blood. So the higher taste. Nice music, nice prasadam, nice association. Then I think it, because people want love, they want appreciation, they want nice food, they want a nice atmosphere. So we provide it, then they'll change. Narada Muni, he just provided a transcendental atmosphere, and Mrigari changed immediately. So we try to create a spiritual atmosphere. People will take shelter. So that's what they're really looking for. They've just been misled, that's all. Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, according to the first, to the beginning, according to the beginning of your lecture, somehow I concluded that we, the lower we are, according to our modes, the more we see the world as a projection of our overwhelming, dirty interior. So no experience which we get under influence of certain modes will actually not help us surpass the mode and go to the next. Everything is bound, all what we can perceive is bound with a certain mode we are in. So experiences will not really change the nature of faith. So something else has to intervene,
yeah, that's
so that
that's
we move up.
That's right. Without association with people higher in nature than you are, you can't make progress. If you associate with people on the same level or lower than you are, then you'll go down. Therefore, that's the Varnashram system. The Shudras associate with the Vaishyas. The Vaishyas give their earnings partly to the Kshatriyas. The Kshatriyas take shelter of the Brahmins. And the Brahmins take shelter of the Vedas. So everyone has to take shelter of something higher to go higher. And if you don't, then you'll sink down, especially in this age. Thank you very much, Grandharaj. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.